would pray for all these leaders that you see come up front. And I wanted you also to see that it does take a village to raise a child, and the commitment that this incredible village of leaders has here at Western Boulevard Presbyterian. And so we continue to pray for them. All right, I have misplaced my glasses, but I'm just my faithful servant. Thank you. So our lesson today is actually not on the lectionary today. I wanted to come back to this foundational scripture in the Old Testament from the book of Deuteronomy as we think about Rally Day and the importance of this day and the importance of our Christian education, not just as children, but as youth and adults. And so I'm reading the Shema, basically, from the book of Deuteronomy. We are in the midst of a very long sermon by Moses to the Israelites. They have finally, after 40 years of traversing through the wilderness, come to the edge of the Jordan River. They're standing on the banks. They are ready to move into that land that had been promised to them by God. And Moses has them stop and settle and listen to some things from me as you prepare to go in. And so here are very important words that he shares with them. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. Keep these words that I am commanding you today in your heart. Recite them to your children and talk about them when you are at home and when you are away, when you lie down and when you rise. Bind them as a sign on your hand. Fix them as an emblem on your forehead and write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. This is the word of the Lord. Well, I don't know why, but everyone loves a good story. My family surely loves telling stories whenever we're together. Just this past Friday night, while Kathanon and I were visiting my parents, my mother started telling a story from my childhood, one that comes up at almost every family reunion. And though we'd all heard it countless times before, we broke out into laughter as if we were hearing it for the very first time. I'm sure you have family stories like that that keep getting retold and retold and retold that in essence are holding your family together. Well, I believe there is a universal human need for stories. Stories that enchant us, that capture our imagination, that stir our emotions. Stories that root us, that remind us who we are, that help us make sense of our lives and of our world. Have you heard of StoryCorps? Some of you have heard of that. StoryCorps is a nonprofit organization whose mission is to celebrate the lives of everyday Americans by inviting them to record their stories. And so here's how it works. The StoryCorps sound booth travels from city to city and sets up shop. And people are invited to bring one person with them whose story they weren't told. And the two of them sit in a sound booth for 40 minutes and talk and share the story. When they're done, they get a CD with their story on it, and another copy is sent to be archived in the Library of Congress. You can hear these stories weekly on NPR, like the story of a young mother running through the hills from Mexico to the U.S. in socks so as not to make any noise, in order to escape drug violence and find a better life for her children. And the story of a Vietnam vet whose high school sweetheart married someone else when he went off to war, but he never stopped loving her. He never married until he found her 40 years later, single again, and made her his wife. So far, over 40,000 Americans have had their stories told and preserved. The founder of StoryCorps, Dave Isay, says his mission with this nonprofit is for people to know that their stories matter and won't be forgotten. And his mission is also to build connections between people, creating a more just and compassionate world. Well, friends, out of God's incredible grace and mercy, we have been gifted with a story, the greatest story ever told, the story of our God who created heaven and earth and put humanity into it. The story of a God who heard the cries of his people and delivered them through the desert. The story of a God who, in response to our world's hurt and suffering and sin, became God with us in the person of Jesus Christ. A God who taught, who healed, who suffered, who died, who was raised from the dead, and who continues to bring life beyond all expectation to those who call upon God's name. Now, on the banks of the Jordan River, just prior to the Israelites crossing into the Promised Land, Moses is trying his best to remind the Israelites of this incredible story that they've been gifted with. The story of a God who heard their cry, a God who delivered them out of slavery into new life, a God who sustained them on their journey and will sustain them still. Hear, O Israel, Moses admonishes, remember, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. Remember to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and might. And remember the story the Lord has given you. Keep it in your heart. Recite it to your children. Talk about it when you are at home and when you are away and when you lie down and when you rise. Talk about that story. That way you'll never forget the story, and your children will know it as well. It will define them. It will shape them. It will heal them. It will renew them, and ultimately, the story will save them. As Moses was intimating to the Israelites, and as one of my preacher colleagues summarized so well, without this story, we have nothing. If we stop teaching the story, sharing the story, living the story, we will die. Die as a community, yes, but we will also die as individuals. For without this story, we know not who we are. We become dry bones, empty vessels, disconnected from the God who created us, disconnected from the neighbor whom we need and who needs us. And so we tell the story. We gather our children, youth, and adults in Sunday school to share the story. We gather together in worship where we tell the story again. Our children's chapel leaders tell the story in 3D with handcrafted wooden figurines. Our youth leaders tell the story on Sunday evenings with incredible passion and energy and creativity. Our Wednesday morning Bible study and Magdalene Circle tell the story to our women. Our chancel choir and praise team sing the story Sunday after Sunday. Which reminds me of a James Taylor concert I attended years ago. Having been around for quite some time, JT fans know most of his songs by heart, right? So several times during the concert, he would start singing a song like my favorite, Carolina in My Mind, and then he fell silent because he knew the audience would keep singing, keep right on singing with gusto since they all knew the words by heart. And boy, did we. So friends, we have a song to keep on singing. We have a story to keep on telling, which is why every rally day we stand as with Moses on the banks of a new beginning, remembering the wondrous story God has given us, which shapes us, heals us, renews us, and saves us. And remembering our sacred calling to pass that story along. And so my prayer for you and me as we begin this new year of Christian education is that we take advantage of every opportunity to know that story well. And every opportunity to recite it to our children, to talk about it when we are at home and when we are away and when we lie down and when we rise. For without that story, we know not who we are. May it be so for you and for me. Amen. So let us now stand as we are able and let us retell a piece of that story as it is summarized for us in the Apostles' Creed that is printed in your bulletins. My friends, tell the story. What is it that you believe? I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. We turn now to sharing our prayer concerns and celebrations with one another and with God, trusting that prayers are answered in ways that our human eyes and ears and hearts may not be able to see. They are answered. And so let me start with a celebration or two this morning. The first is Yvonne Byers. I want to welcome you today and your daughter Susan. And so we're so thankful you're here with us on this rally day. And Susan, so thankful that you're here as well. Many of you know that Yvonne's husband, Ed, was pastor here at Western Boulevard for 22, 3 years, a very long time. And so it's always a joy and an honor and a privilege, Yvonne, when you come back to see us. It feels like you're coming home, and we are so grateful for you and for Susan bringing you here today. Let's see, other prayer concerns or prayers that I'd lift before you, another celebration, enormous celebration, is with Lori Grippo, who's been undergoing treatment in Florida for her cancer, and the great good news that came in just yesterday, day before yesterday, was that her scans are completely clear, and she does not have to have any more chemotherapy. So she'll be in Florida a little longer. She had a fall while she was there, so strengthening her back. But I was talking to her yesterday and saying, we cannot wait for you to come back home. So prayers of celebration for Lori Grippo. Prayers of celebration that Robert Owens has returned home from Duke Hospital after 2 major surgeries. And I was talking with Robert yesterday, and he asked that I please, please tell his church family how much he has appreciated your cards and your prayers. And he is on the road to recovery. He still has a ways to go, so he is asking that you continue to be in prayer for him. If you will, pray for Jean Godfrey. Jean has been transported from Rex Hospital back to Brookdale MacArthur Assisted Living, where she has been living. But she is pretty weak, so I would ask that you pray for strength for Jean and for the days and weeks ahead, and for further healing for Jean Godfrey. She too appreciates your prayers so much. And another prayer of concern is for Terrell Toney. Dean Irving was mentioning this last Sunday, that Terrell's birth mother was nearing death. Well, she has passed on to eternal life just in the last day or two. And that service of witness to the resurrection and her celebration of her life will be this afternoon. And so, Sandy and Dean, please express to Terrell that we are praying for him in this difficult time. And of course, we cannot forget about the Bahamas and those in that tiny island nation who are suffering so much. 43 confirmed deaths, but we know that count is going to rise, sadly,